2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm so amazed to see how the Holy Spirit gave Peter such wonderful, deep revelations of himself. And the more I read his letters, gosh, there's hope for me. Even Peter, being a fisherman, when he got saved, how incredibly his life was changed and transformed. And he wrote this in a series of verses, but verse 3, I've not really, as many times as I've read it, I haven't really began to dig into that a little further until I realized this is no small thing. According as his divine power has given, notice this is past tense, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And I think it's important, as we introduced this verse last week, to come to realize this is something that's already taken place. It's not, we're not putting our faith in so much as something in the future, or something that might be, or something that could be. This is something that's already been done. It's been established. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godlikeness, godliness. And when I started thinking about life, I began to see it in three aspects. There's our physical life, the life we live in these earth suits. There's our spiritual life, our relationship with the Father through Christ. And then there's eternal life. And if he's given me all things that pertain to life, I began to start going through the Word and finding scriptures that pertain to our physical life. And there are multitudes. I couldn't possibly write them all and have the time left in this life to read them all. But I just wanted to show you a little more depth to what this Word really tells me and how encouraged it got me to know that so many struggles that people struggle with, they don't have to if they just be. Just be who God says they are and just do in response to what he's done. And even in the most trying of days, there's something about knowing that God has already got that covered. There's already been provision made for that, and to be able to tap into that. And so we started looking at some scriptures last week, but the first one I had in all three of the following aspects of life, physical, spiritual, and eternal, God has given us his word. That's predominant throughout all of these, because we'll be looking at his word and reading from his word. But he's given us his word. And we look back in Genesis 1:1, where God created the heavens and the earth. So we have that assurance that this thing just didn't happen with the Big Bang theory people. I mean, there might have been a Big Bang, I don't know, but I'm glad everything fit right into place. And it, you know, most explosions don't happen that way. They tend to be rather destructive, and pieces fly everywhere with no rhyme or reason to how the universe and the solar systems, there are multiple galaxies that were created, and how the Lord knows every one of those stars. He knows every one of those planets. He knows every one of the moons that revolve around the planets. All those things he created. And scientists are just now discovering, with things like the Hubble telescope and other telescopes that have been launched into space, and they're still discovering, they say, oh, the universe is expanding. And because that's the only way they can describe the new things they're able to see that they couldn't see before, because they didn't have a way to see those things before. And now they can, and to see how vast God created all these things. And so he created them with his word. Did you notice in Genesis, the very first few verses, nothing happened until God spoke. And then the Holy Spirit took what God spoke, and he was the power of God that created everything according to the word. So I wanted to lay that covering over all three aspects of life, that the one thing that's a common denominator in all of them is we have the word of God. Whether it's spoken, whether it's written, we have it. And so then I went to Psalm 119:89, and I don't think that we had read that last week. But we should, because it's very relevant to the conversation we're having. Psalm 119 actually has many references to the word. But there were several key verses, and about the word being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Things that specifically talk about the word. But this one I came across was verse 89 of Psalm 119. Takes me a while to go through Psalm 119 because it's a biggie. In verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Established, settled. There's no debate about it. There's no arguing about it. If you do, you're just wasting your time because it's settled. Some people make their case, they make their argument, and that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And God said, this is my story and I'm sticking to it. It's settled. Either you have to come to terms and come into agreement with my word, or you're just beating the air for nothing. How can we not? But then you have to have the Holy Spirit reveal to us that the word is the truth. It is the Spirit of truth that reveals the Father's word. But just the fact that it's settled in heaven. And then Jesus came and established the word on earth, because he is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the word come alive, the word in flesh form. The New Testament reference, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So the word has been established in all three realms of life, physical, spiritual, and eternal. And the other one was Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last 3 weeks after my crucifixion. He didn't say that? Oh my God. I can't believe I brought this Bible with me again. I'm supposed to leave these things home. What did he say? What did he say about his word? Matthew 24, verse 35. Oh, I found it. Wow, duh. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Another place God said he honors his word even above his name. Well, it'd be nice if I could come to that place in my life where I would honor my word above my name. If I would care less about my reputation, but I would honor my word even more. Because we're supposed to be like him. When we give our word to people, we should be truthful, but keep our word too. Don't make promises we can't keep. All right, so then we looked at, this is a bit of a review. Genesis 2:7, Jeremiah 1:5, Psalm 139:14, we talked about how we started looking at the natural person, the physical being, and how actually even in Genesis, God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and there humans were formed. The first sign of physical human life was where? Back in Genesis, in the beginning. So I wanted to kind of go back there where it started and then look at our physical lives and the provisions that God has made for us. Now we talked about the life in the womb before the child was born. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations, Jeremiah. But the fact is that God knew you and I before we were born. And he sanctified us. He set us apart. Each one of us has a gift, a skill, a talent, a calling, a ministry, something. We weren't just born again to take up space. We were born with God's intent and purpose and plan for our lives. And the biggest one is to do what? To demonstrate by our life what he's like. That's why the Spirit of God is in us. To help us to walk that out and to live it and to show people what our Father's like. Psalm 139:14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So we see the life of the physical, how it started with Adam. And now you see these provisions that God has made. Even Paul, Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And these give me a lot of assurance that God cared about our life even before we were born. That's such a thought when you, I don't know, maybe you maybe don't think as much as I do about, I don't think of my former life to glorify it or anything, but I often talk about it because until I got saved, I didn't see it, but after I got saved, I saw it. How he looked after me, how he cared for me, how he provided for me, how he protected me. Psalm 103, we looked at the first five verses of Psalm 103, and I believe that's where we left off. And then other things that physical life, people have concerns and cares, worries and fears, not so much the believers but the non-believers, because we've been delivered and God did not give us a spirit of fear but of power, love, and a sound mind. But even Jesus talked about, we're going to start getting into the up to where the physical person becomes a spiritual person, up through the born-again experience. So I'm kind of want to go from one to the next, and Jesus made that transition because he was the venue, if you will, by which God introduced eternal life to the physical person. He became more than just a person. He became a spiritual person. But Matthew 6:31-34, this is part of the physical life still. Jesus said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? These are valid concerns that people have that maybe have not yet trusted in the Lord because they hadn't yet. Because Jesus wasn't yet gone to the cross and he wasn't raised from the dead yet. But he addressed these issues for the physical person. Matthew 6:31-34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, now Jesus is introducing another level, the kingdom of God. You've been a natural person all of your life and up to this point. My prophets have come before me. They've talked about my coming. They've talked about my kingdom. But it hasn't happened yet. It's available and it's coming. And so now we're beginning to see the transition. How and where and when is this going to happen? But first, we got to worry about our food. We got to worry about our clothes. We got to worry about our jobs. We got to worry about this and worry about that. Oh, there's a person in my family that's an anointed worrier. If you ever want to give her any cares and worries, she'll carry the load very nicely. She knows exactly how to worry the best. She's the best worrier I ever knew in my life. And I don't take any cares overseas. They don't fit in my suitcase. I know who I can give them to. So I've learned not to worry. But here, they still had these concerns, and Jesus was speaking to them and telling them, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What things? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? The physical concerns of the human is something that, until we came to that place in our lives where we became spiritually alive. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I didn't trust God for anything. I didn't even know who he was. All I could think of was, if he's real, he's a cosmic cowboy out in his UFO in space someplace. I had no idea. It just wasn't there. It wasn't even in my thinking. And so I was concerned about these things. I got kidnapped and shot in Florida one night walking home from work. And I was out of work for a really long time. And I was homeless and foodless and kind of left in a fix. But do you think I was wise enough to cry out to the Lord? Nope. Didn't even enter my thoughts. My thoughts were consumed with, man, if I can just get to the ocean, that salt water will heal this bullet hole because it ripped open. I got shot in the knee jumping out of the guy's car that kidnapped me. And he shot me in my left knee. And did I call out to the Lord? Nope. How dumb is that? It's just real, because most natural people don't think of calling upon the Lord. They think of handling all of life's issues for themselves. But Jesus said, don't take any thought about that. Well, I wouldn't have had anything left to think about. Wow, what a concept. If you give all these cares and concerns to the Lord, you don't have to worry about your thoughts. They'll be fine. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Wow, tomorrow's Monday. Let me see. I got to worry about this. I got to worry about... No, you don't. Give it to your mother-in-law. No, give These people that will worry for you. You all have people like that in your family. I'm sure that you know at least one person that, if you've got all these worries, they're really good at that. It's like a ministry. And they're very faithful. Well, we better move along. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care, we'll take the thought for the things of itself. Oh, that means it's okay if I get up and worry about tomorrow. Did you know that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday? Can I say that again? Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Well, everything turned out pretty okay, didn't it? Look at all that time you wasted about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't even take thought of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough stuff to deal with today, let alone what will happen tomorrow. And so he began to lay this in his teaching about learning to trust and depend on the Lord for your daily provisions. Now, this is before people were saved. So that's where I wanted to kind of make that transition. And that transition happened with Jesus' introduction in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it started with Nicodemus, who came by night to see Jesus. And there's a lot of teaching about why did he wait at night, because he probably would have been thrown out of the synagogue if he got caught having anything to do with the likes of Jesus. Jesus was not a friend of the synagogue people, the leaders of the synagogue. And so This is where we now see life from the physical being introduced to life in the spiritual sense. And it has to do with being born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, meaning Nicodemus, verily, verily. I love those two words because I've learned that verily, verily, whatever follows those two words is the purest form of truth that there could ever possibly be, even better than ivory snow. Ivory snow is 99.44% pure, but the word of God is 100% pure. And so when Jesus used the word verily, verily, the truth that he was speaking was 100%. You couldn't water it down. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And see, before I was born again, it's true, I couldn't see it. I didn't even know it existed. There were people that I worked with in Florida that they were always trying to come preaching at me when I was working, and I'd run them off. I wasn't interested in what they were telling me. I thank God for all of them now. I may be alive because of their persistence, but they didn't see me when I got saved. That was years later, but they were effective. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can read about it. And it's like, I remembered it was like living in Florida. It was like the magic kingdom, only it wasn't magic. It's real. It's a real kingdom. And did not Jesus say, it is your Father's, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? It's all part of that. Getting their natural thinking and their natural ways to begin to think more on a spiritual level, because in your life, there's going to be an opportunity for you to experience a change in your life that's going to change you from just the natural man to the spiritual man. It's one of those aspects that Peter talked about, all three aspects of life, physical, spiritual, and eternal. So Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's an interesting word picture. Do you go feet first or head first? Well, come on, that's how we're born. I mean, Nicodemus was... I can't imagine being that dull in your thinking that you would just couldn't even ask a question like that. But he did. Jesus said it, so it had to be true. And Jesus said, verily, verily, here we go again, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And think about a natural birth. A person has to be born in the natural sense first. The water breaks, and soon after that, the child is born, a natural childbirth. So there's water, the natural birth, and then there's that which is born of the Spirit. And that's the new birth. And so he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so Jesus now introduces the born-again experience, and suddenly... The kingdom of God is here with Jesus representing that kingdom, and each person has that opportunity to make that decision for his life. Am I still going to be an unsaved, natural person in all my ways and all my thinking, or am I going to take the next level and experience the new birth that all my Christian friends tried to tell me about? Especially that guy over there. He came back to spy on me, see if it worked. It did, didn't it, Don? It yes, sir, it works. So now a little further. Because Jesus began to talk about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 3 as well. So I thought I'd go with that. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So not only does Jesus introduce the Holy Spirit, he's called the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding back in the Old Covenant, but now Jesus is calling him the Holy Spirit. And he's very much involved in bringing us to this born-again experience, that we can have a life that's now going to be filled with the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And so you begin to see that transition in Peter's revelation of all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can't live a godly life without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can go through all the motions, but it's very difficult to be consecrated to the Lord if you haven't accepted his call and allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify us and make us holy. So this is the change now that we're going to see in this. You can find lots of other scriptures, but I tried to keep it, you know, within something that we could talk about for a few weeks and have a better understanding of how God has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life. So like that old Caribbean song, "Don't worry, be happy," kind of deal, you know. We don't have to worry, and we can be happy. We can be joy-filled. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but we didn't have that before. So I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up about this, the spiritual aspect, next week. We've got a good introduction on it, but there's a few more things that I'd like to share about that before we go on to eternal life and all the promises from the Word that pertain to that. So today, rejoice. The kingdom of God is yours. You're in it. Jesus made that possible. You don't have to go to Disney World to be in the kingdom.